is go.
Pegasus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy, S is go.
Houston flight is go.
Pilot go.
STM is go.
Safety comms is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDI is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show, 30th of April, or as Diane likes to call it, April 29th.
Yeah, that's a funny thing, guys. By the way, good evening, Craig.
Good evening.
Nothing like telling the audience of my faux pas.
This is one of those weird things.
Jump on all the posting we have to do, you know, in preparation for the show, promoting the show, etc. I decided to put together the promo piece last night instead of early this morning like I do. Well, last night when I was doing it, it was the 29th.
Right.
And, of course, I didn't hit the post button till after midnight, so it went up on the 29th instead of the 30th. But being someone highly, you know, responsible for my own actions, and it was my faux pas, I went back to the hundreds of posts that we do promoting the show, and I changed every one to the correct date.
Well, it was so weird because I didn't even notice. Okay, and I you know, had stuff posted up, and then I got a comment from somebody who said, did you mean Friday the 30th? I'm like, what are you talking about? And they said, well, on your advertisement for the show tonight, it says Friday the 29th. And I'm like, what? Oh, I looked at it. And went,
oh. Well, you know, things happen, guys.
It's one of those things. I called Diane and I told her, and we had a good laugh. You know, yeah. And she realized what had happened.
It was corrected.
It's all good. It's, you know, I mean, look, we're here, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the important thing, and we got a bunch of stuff that we want to talk about tonight. Now, I gotta get this out there because it's so bizarre to me.
Okay.
We're not going to spend any time on this at all, folks. But I got to get it out there because it is so weird. Okay. Her Majesty the Queen of England today gave their country's highest economic award to a British company that makes sex toys.
Are you kidding?
I am not kidding. And I thought, why would the Queen of England, and then it dawned on me, you know, probably just amazed by the new technology. She's old enough to remember when those things were steam driven.
That's true. And it might have to do with the fact that whatever company is producing these sex toys, they probably bring a good amount of money into the UK.
I'm sure they do. That's all I wanted to say about that. Now, you and I, Diane, on Tuesday of next week, you and I, from time to time, we will combine our efforts and put together an investigative report. Now, we have combined our efforts, but it's not really an investigative piece. It's more like a combined op-ed commentary.
Yes, we'll think of a name to call it. But, Craig, tell them what it's about.
Well, Diana and I got, we're sitting here talking like we do almost every day, and this was about a week ago, and we're sitting there talking, and it's like, wonder whatever happened to the new Black Panthers. You know, wonder whatever happened to the Nation of Islam. And the more we talked about those things, you know, we both about the same time, Diane said it first, and she said, well, you know, maybe we ought to do an article about this. And I'm like, yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so we started doing some research and we started digging into stuff, and we have put together a jointly co-authored, however you want to refer to it, op-ed / commentary, and we're going to deliver that on Tuesday right here on Right Side Patriots.
Right, and we honestly believe we know what happened to both groups.
You know, we did a little history research, we did a little current research, I mean, we dug into this, you know, and we spent the better part of a week just getting all the information together, and, you know, Monday we'll have it published, Tuesday we'll do it right here on Right Side Patriots.
Yes, and it's very, you're going to find it very interesting, folks, because there's some little surprises in there.
Yeah, we like to call those Easter eggs. Some okay. little hidden surprises, you know?
Yes.
So, yep, be looking forward to that. Now, plenty of stuff's been going on. I mean, there's no shortage of liberal nonsense to be talking about here. But let's start with something. Folks, unless you've been living under a rock in the back of a cave, you know that Rudy Giuliani's home was served a search warrant. They went in, FBI went in, federal agents went in, and they removed his electronic devices. And this happened on Wednesday, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And know, though, that this is not a Republican-led FBI, nor is it an FBI that has anything but allegiance to a certain, president who was not duly elected.
That's a politically correct way to put it.
I think so.
They're bowing to the fraud.
They're bowing to the fraud big time. And as you guys can figure out, we're probably talking about Uncle Joe and his dear little son, Hunter.
Now, Rudy, last night, was a guest with Tucker Carlson over on Fox. And I don't often watch. I should watch more. Because I love Tucker, I love Hannity, I love Laura. You know, three great shows right in a row every night. Well, last night I just happened to catch Tucker Carlson's show, and he always does a great job. So He's got Rudy Giuliani on pretty much near the top of the show. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting because Rudy never really holds back on anything.
Right.
But what Rudy said on that show last night absolutely blew my mind.
Yeah, basically what he said and what he did, after they took the hard drives that they apparently were after, Rudy brought it to their attention that there were three hard drives still sitting on his desk. Why don't they take those? You never know what might be on them. And when the FBI asked him whose they were, he happened to say they were Hunter Biden's. Well, with that, the FBI basically went white as a ghost and said, no, 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 we don't want those. We don't want those. Gee, why wouldn't they want those?
Gee, I don't know. I'll tell you what. Yeah. I grabbed about 2 minutes and 45 seconds of audio. And I want to play this for people who may not have tuned in and heard this interview. This is Rudy telling Tucker Carlson last night how this all went down. This is amazing, folks. Give this a listen.
New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani just learned that lesson the hard way yesterday when federal agents raided his home and took his files. By our count, Rudy Giuliani is at least the third attorney to have his personal communications with former President Donald Trump seized by the Justice Department. Sense a theme here? Rudy Giuliani joins us to tell us what happened. Mr. Mayor, thanks so much for coming on. Now, if you'd been reading the Twitter feed of the Lincoln Project, the Democratic hacks who got Joe Biden elected, you would have known that federal agents were about to raid your home. They knew before you did. But apparently you weren't. Tell us what happened yesterday.
Well, about 6 o'clock in the morning, there was a big bang, bang, bang on the door. And outside were seven FBI agents with a warrant for electronics. And I looked at the warrant and I said, you know, this is extraordinary because I've offered to give these to the government and talk it over with the government for 2 years. I don't know why they have to do this. The agents seemed somewhat apologetic, I might say. They were very, very professional and very gentlemanly. The only time they got perturbed is at the end of the search when they had taken about, I'd say, 7 or 8 electronic items of mine, which is what they took, and 2 of someone else's. They weren't taking the 3 hard drives, which of course are electronic devices. They just mimic the computer. I said, well, don't you want these? And they said, what are they? I said, those are Hunter Biden's hard drives. And they said, no. I said, are you sure you don't want them? I mean, the warrant required them to take it. And they said, no. And I, one last time I said, don't you think you should take it to comp-? And they said, no. Now, Hunter Biden's hard drives fall within the scope of the subpoena. The subpoena required them to take all electronics, but they decided to leave that behind. And they also were completely content to rely on my word that these were Hunter Biden's hard drives. I mean, they could have been Donald Trump's. They could have been Vladimir Putin's. They could have been anybody's. But they relied on me, the man who had to be raided in the morning, because I'm going to destroy the evidence. I've known about this for 2 years, Tucker. I could have destroyed the evidence years ago. I didn't destroy the evidence because the evidence is exculpatory. It proves that the president and I and all of us are innocent. They're the ones who are committing. It's like projection. They're committing the crime.
So there's Rudy Giuliani last night with Tucker Carlson on Fox News. Diane, that is absolutely astonishing to me. That sitting there on his desk are Hunter Biden's hard drives, 3 of them. And when he says, don't you want those? Those are Hunter's hard drives. No. I mean, it's like there was a sense of panic. Oh, my God. You know?
Yeah.
How weird is that?
Well, what amazes me is they were sent in to go get Rudy's hard drives relating to Ukraine. Well, you can't equate Rudy with the happenings in the Ukraine without the Bidens. It wasn't a one-sided incident, if you will.
Well, you're right, but not only that, but according to Rudy, the warrant was for all the electronic devices, okay?
Correct.
Now, Rudy says in there, folks, and you heard him, they took his electronic devices and 2 that belonged to somebody else. But when it came to Hunter Biden's hard drives, oh, hell no.
And don't think for a minute, folks, that Rudy Giuliani didn't have a heads up that this was going to happen. And don't also think that he didn't have copies of all the hard drives they took.
I guarantee you he's got all the backups he needs, you know.
Exactly.
And exactly. You almost wonder, if he didn't have a heads up, would he have actually set out Hunter Biden's hard drives? Because it seems to me like he was tempting them.
He was setting them up to be fooled.
That's what it seems like to me.
And they proved themselves to be fools.
I mean, this FBI agents. These are federal agents. They're right. Coming in there 6:30 in the morning. They're coming in there to scoop up all the electronic devices
But right. Oh no, not hunters. We don't want to touch that.
You know what? I got an idea. Maybe Rudy should, you know, stick them in his computer, print out what was on them, and release them on his own.
Well, yeah. I mean, if the FBI doesn't want them, why not?
We'd like to see them.
Sure. Rudy, if you're listening, send a copy to me and Diane.
Yes. We'll make sure they get out there.
We will. We might accidentally leak them. You never know.
Maybe. Could be.
But I mean, you know, this is, and like Tucker said at the very beginning of that interview, Rudy is now the third Trump attorney to have his files taken. Now, what you didn't hear in that, and what Rudy talked about a little bit later in the interview, is that some of what they took are things that pertain to cases that Rudy is currently working on. So they literally violated attorney-client privilege.
Exactly. That's very serious. But the fact that these most likely are agents whose loyalty is with Biden, nothing will happen to them.
Right. Absolutely. You know that's a fact.
Right.
There won't be any questions asked.
Nope.
We all know that. So, you know, I think there's going to be a lot more that's going to unfold on this. I guarantee you Rudy is going to sue the DOJ.
Yes.
You know, and there is going to be hell to pay on this thing, because Rudy is like a pit bull on a pork chop. He ain't letting go.
But the problem is, Rudy might be the pit bull on the pork chop, but the Democrat DOJ, they'll do nothing. They'll say, there's nothing here for you to go after. We had every right to come in and get them.
You know, but like you said, I've been offering this stuff to the federal government for 2 years.
Right. Right. And they didn't take it. But they made their grand show. But instead of coming across, you know, as we're doing the right thing, they've actually come across fools because they were set up by Rudy.
This might be one of the most transparent attempts at diverting people's attention that the liberals have ever pulled.
Exactly.
I mean, it really might be. All right. So we'll keep an eye on that, because I guarantee you, folks, we haven't heard the last of this. So we'll keep an eye on that. But a couple of nights ago, Uncle Joe gave his joint address to Congress. Bear in mind, folks, this was not a State of the Union.
No, he has yet to give one. What's interesting to start off with, according to, you know, all the liberal rags and things, he got 26.9 million viewers. However, what they're not telling you is President Trump, when he gave his first address to Congress, he got over 47.7 million. So this means that not even, you know, or barely, I should say, a half of the amount of people listen to Biden as they listen to Trump.
And that's
nobody has any interest in what he has to say.
And that's if you believe those numbers. And personally, I don't, right, because I've seen other numbers from last night that say 11.6 million.
Right. And you're getting all different numbers. But that was the highest number, they're saying, the 26.9 million. Well, if that's the highest number, that's pretty sad.
That is. You know, that's Craig, pathetic.
What really got me was, here it is, Congress, these 100 days have been, you know, locked in the congressional chambers. They've all been working together and whatever. But here, for the first speech of the Biden administration, they were only, I believe it was 200 members of the House and the Senate present, and they were socially distanced between each other. But it does, you know, didn't matter that the day before They were all huddled together in Congress. This was all show.
Yeah.
This was all for show.
It was a dog and pony show, and they're all wearing masks.
Yeah, I mean, give me a break already with these masks.
It looked ridiculous. You know, when they did a camera shot from behind him, you know, like they normally do when there is a State of the Union, and you see the chamber just packed with people. In the shot from behind him, there's somebody over here, and somebody up there, and somebody way over. It looked ridiculous. And he's standing up there talking like he's talking to the full chamber, you know?
Yeah, and he was basically talking to himself, because what he had to say was nothing that we don't know. It was the typical Democrat nonsense. In fact, it's now being said by some talking heads that he is even going further to the left than Obama did.
Yeah, which, well, you know, this is, you know, hyperdrive at this point. You know, I mean, he got up there and literally talked about spending over $4 trillion.
Yep.
Okay, but at one point, he actually said something that was true. Now, I know he didn't mean to. I know it was an obvious mistake on his part, but when he's talking about the Green New Deal, okay, and he's talking about carbon footprints and you know, whatever that was, and he's talking about getting, you know, this is why I got us back into the Paris Climate Accord, and he said, you know, 15% of the CO2 in Earth's atmosphere comes from the U.S. The other, you know, there's like 85% of it comes from China. And here's what he said that was absolutely true, that was a terrible mistake on his part. He said, even if we can eliminate all of ours, it won't make a difference.
And that's very true.
It's very true. But it's the last thing that liberal agenda needs is truth.
Absolutely. And another thing, you know, people need to understand, this is a $6 trillion package.
Oof.
But you know, it's in taxpayer-funded spending, meaning we are paying for this, meaning, folks, our taxes will soon be going way, way up.
Oh, yeah. They'll tell you, oh, no. Oh, no, the middle class, the lower class, we're only going to take more money from the ultra-rich. Bull crap.
Yes.
The numbers don't add up.
No, they absolutely don't add up. In fact, what Biden said during the speech was that independent experts actually estimate the American Jobs Plan, his plan, will add millions of jobs and millions of dollars in economic growth for years to come. These are good-paying jobs that can't be outsourced. Really?
Uh-huh.
Really, Joe? We're going to be creating more jobs in the so-called climate change industry, but we're going to be taking jobs away from coal workers, oil workers. We're going to be taking more jobs away than creating jobs. So how is this a benefit? It's not.
Well, are these shovel-ready jobs the way they promised back when Obama was running things? And we never saw a shovel-ready job in all this time.
Nope. Not at all.
Can I ask a simple yet rhetorical question?
Sure.
Before this goofy pandemic panic set in, we had the greatest economy this country has ever seen. Correct. I mean, it was booming, right?
Correct.
The only thing that slowed it down was manufactured fake pandemic panic. So given that, why do we need a $4 trillion jobs bill?
Your guess is as good as mine, except basically, when you create new jobs that nobody is really trained for because, you know, the industry that he's saying these jobs are going to doesn't even really exist, you're putting millions of people in good jobs out of work. When they're out of work, they're going to become dependent on the government for their and their family's survival. And the bottom line is, people usually don't bite the hand that feeds them. So what he's doing with this is creating a brand new group of people dependent on the government. People who never wanted to be dependent on the government will now become so.
Well, not only that, but you make a great point and it made me laugh. These are jobs that don't even exist. It's an industry that doesn't even exist. But I suppose somebody has to milk the unicorn.
Exactly. In fact, Biden on his own actually said that his plan, after, you know, laying out his plan, he added, "I don't have any inordinate faith in government." Well, if you don't have any faith in government, why are you doing this plan?
Because this is how the government works.
No, you know? Because this is him acquiescing to the far left side of the aisle.
I guarantee you, whoever wrote this speech is sitting back in some room somewhere, just beating on their head with an iPad while he's trying to read this thing. At one point, he got so lost in a single sentence, he had to stop and apologize for losing his place and start over.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's not presidential. It put his mental infirmities in full public view. You know, all a president has to do up there, you know, if there's a teleprompter, you read off the teleprompter. But I guess when he, you know, vision has can't see the teleprompter, and maybe one of his earbuds went out, you know, where they were telling him what to say.
Right, right.
You know? Working together, it made him, you know, do a guffaw.
Well, it's just sad. And then the very next day, he's at some thing, some event. He gets up there to the podium, and all of a sudden, he can't find his mask. And he's looking in his folder of notes for his mask. He's looking under the podium for the mask. Yeah. His wife has to come up and help him look for it. Then he found it in his pocket.
Yeah, I believe that was in Georgia, but don't hold me to that.
I think you're right.
You know what's sad about this, Craig? His family knows well this man is physically nor mentally capable to be president of the United States. And their ambition and quest for power is so great that they are sacrificing someone they're supposed to love.
Well, they
their
don't.
Own self-grandiosement.
It's all about the power.
It's all about the power.
I mean, that's it. It's all about the power.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But yeah, that speech was awful. I mean, it was painful to listen to because, oh my God. I mean, when he starts talking in that whisper. And then, you know, after it was over, I was kind of going through some of the mainstream media just to see what they were saying. Oh, my God, you would have thought they had just listened to the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, it was like, you know, forget Jesus, Joe Biden. You know, what a great orator.
It was bad enough to hear it, but it was worse to watch it.
Oh, it's painful.
Because just painful. This, I can imagine what other world leaders were thinking as they were watching the man who's supposed to be the head of the most powerful nation on earth, basically falling apart.
Ted Cruz was nodding off. Chuck Schumer yes. looked drunk.
Yes. I mean, it's ridiculous, folks. Ugh. It's ridiculous. I'm surprised that Pelosi hasn't 25th Amendmented him yet. I wonder when that's coming. I think by the end of the year.
Yeah, what are they waiting for?
Make sure that Camilla's over her fright of being president, because as inept as Joe Biden is to be president, she's even worse.
Oh, God. Don't even get me started. Folks, we're going to take a bottom of the hour break here. We've got another segment coming up for you. We're going to be talking about Tim Scott. He gave the response to whatever that was Biden did the other night. And we're going to spend a little time talking about police officers tonight.
Yes.
Okay? So one more segment to go on the show tonight. We're going to get this bottom of the hour station ID out of the way, and we'll be back. So more Right Side Patriots after this.
Hey guys, Diane Sorey from the Patriot Factor on the patriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out the National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Friday night edition of the show, and welcome to it. Great weekend staring everybody right in the face. Hope everybody's got some fun plans that do not involve social distancing or masks.
Oh, yes. And tomorrow is May 1st. And supposedly on May 1st, the mask mandate in Florida is gone.
Ooh.
Let's see how that goes, because private industries, you know, can still require it, but they can't. If people don't want to follow, as the way I'm understanding it, they really can't force people to put them on.
Well, it's kind of pointless, isn't it? Anyway, I mean, let's say you go to a given business, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you walk in and everybody in the business is wearing a mask and you're not. And they give you that evil eye.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody comes up to you and says, you need to put on a mask. The obvious question is, well, if yours is working, why do I need one?
Well, you know what, silly? Here it is. Like when we go to restaurants here in Florida, we have to wear a mask to walk into the establishment. But as soon as you're seated, you can take the mask off. And then you're surrounded, because we're at full capacity. You're surrounded by everybody else without the mask. But to walk out, or let's say to go to the ladies or the men's room, you got to put the mask on.
Crazy.
Governor DeSantis is the best governor ever. He realized the ludicrousy of this. He's also listening to the science about the social distancing is nonsense. Being in the fresh air is better than, you know, there's no reason to wear a mask if you're in the outside. I mean, he has kept our state open ever since the beginning, you know, after the Trump imposed stay-at-home order. But after that, he has kept us open. Our numbers are way down. People are out enjoying life again.
I think the two best governors...
he's had enough.
I think the two best governors in the country today, and I'll make it three. I'll go three. Okay?
Yeah, you better go three.
DeSantis, Kristi Noem, and down in Texas.
Right, Abbott. That's who
Greg Abbott.
The three of them.
I think those are the three best governors in all of the U.S. right now.
And not only that, if it's not a Trump-DeSantis ticket, I'd like to see a DeSantis-Noem ticket in 2024.
That'd be a great ticket. That would, because they both tell it like it is. But you know who else tells it like it is? Tim Scott.
Yes, he does.
Tim Scott gave the response, the official response, to whatever that garbage was that Biden was spewing out of his pie hole the other night. And Tim Scott, his response, I mean, look, I've watched a lot of responses to joint session speeches, call it whatever you want, you know, joint session, State of the Union, whatever you want to call it. And basically, it's a job nobody wants, given the response. And I don't care from what side of the aisle, nobody wants that, because that is one of the toughest speeches to give, because it's just you and a camera, right? Well, Tim Scott knocked it out of the park the other night.
Yes,
I mean, he talked about how the U.S. is not an inherently racist country, and he's seen racism, he's seen that kind of discrimination, but he knows it's isolated. And I mean, he really laid it out there last night. And while he's talking, over on Twitter, liberals are calling him Uncle Tim, read Uncle Tom. Right?
Yes.
So they're making racial slurs, and what does Twitter do? Do they stop it? Do they throw these people out? No. They make it trend.
Yes. It took them, I think it was either 10 or 12 hours to stop the attacks on him. And thankfully, a number of Republican senators came to his defense, including Ted Cruz, who called the sneers against Tim Scott disgusting. And then he went on to slam Democrats and Twitter for allowing the racial slur to trend. I mean, we say one bad thing about Obama or Kamala Harris or any person of color, and we're thrown off, you know, for good.
Oh, yeah, boom, like that.
Yeah, but nothing happens if you say anything against a black Republican.
Well,
you know, as far as Twitter's concerned.
Let me tell you why. Mm-hmm. They are terrified of black conservatives. Terrified. The liberals are terrified of black conservatives. Liberals liberalism is where racism in this country lives. It's always been that way.
Yeah. Okay? And, you know, another one who gets slammed all the time with racial remarks is Candace Owens.
Well, because she speaks the truth.
Exactly.
They're terrified of her.
People don't get conservatism is not about color. It's an ideology of people knowing right from wrong, using common sense, and actually using their working brain cells. Liberalism is just sheeple following orders.
That's it. That's all it is. Joy Behar over on The View. The morning after Tim Scott delivered that speech, she literally, that old sow, literally goes on television and says, well, Tim Scott obviously doesn't understand racism.
Oh, really? A black man who lived through racism doesn't understand racism, but Joe Behar does. I got yeah. it. I understand it.
Yeah, you got that now? Are you clear on that?
Now. Yes.
Tim Scott, who grew up poor, grew up in a black community in the South, doesn't understand racism. Tim Scott,
no.
whose grandfather, a great-grandfather, was a slave, grandfather was a sharecropper, and he's incognito. He doesn't understand it.
No, he doesn't understand it. You know, it's like Alan West also, who grew up in an Atlanta ghetto. People have made comments about him.
Well, yeah.
Same type of comments. It seems that any black person, whether they be male or female, who no longer buy into the Democrat rhetoric, who actually have said, I can do this and have done what they've done, they're no good because they left the mold of what the Democrats want black people to be.
Exactly.
Subservient and beholden to the government. Well, there's a growing number of blacks who have now left the Democrat Party, gone to the Republican Party, and are making better lives for themselves and their families by taking responsibility for their own actions. And that is the antithesis of what the Democrats want black people to be.
And you know what that equates to? That is the American dream. You take exactly. advantage of every opportunity America has to offer. And those opportunities, yes, they used to be restrictive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yes, they used to be discriminatory. But they're not. Not anymore. And they haven't been for a long time.
A while.
Right. I mean, the idea that somebody like Tim Scott doesn't understand discrimination, that somebody like Alan West or Ben Carson or Larry Elder or, you know, the list goes on and on, Thomas Sowell, you know, the list goes on and on. The idea that they're not black because they've accomplished something in their lives, that's insanity.
It's insanity, and you want to know something? It's racism in a different form. It's racism against successful black people. Remember what they used to say about Herman Cain?
There's another one.
You know how they crucified him?
Yep.
These people don't fit the mold of what the Democrats want blacks to be, subservient and beholden.
Exactly. Exactly. The Democrat Party is its own plantation.
Yes. Yes. In fact, it has black people, maybe not physically in chains, but mentally in chains.
Just as bad.
Worse, just, in a way, I think.
You know, I mean, it's hideous. What happened to Tim Scott the other night was hideous. Never should have happened. You know, but... You know, like you said, Diane, hey, as long as it's a black conservative, they're fair game.
They're fair game. And where's Twitter's punishment? Has Twitter issued an apology to Tim Scott? Not
nope.
that I know of.
Nope. Not going to either. No. Hell no.
It's a sad thing. This whole thing of systemic racism, it's manufactured. It doesn't exist in this country. The only racism in this country is Democrats perpetrating lies and holding black people back from reaching their full potential. They are the racists.
It's amazing. It's amazing, mm-hmm. but it's true. All right, mm-hmm. so we got about, 15 minutes left here tonight. Let's talk about police officers being targeted. Okay, this has been going on for a number of years, but I'm telling you right now, it is way out of control. Folks, you can't go through a news feed on any given day over the past couple of weeks without seeing officers being shot at, officers being shot, officers being shot and killed. I mean, mm-hmm. this is out of control. This is completely nuts.
In fact, the rate of police officers being killed, etc., has gone up. In 2020, just last year, firearm-related deaths were 17 in 2020. It's now up to 19, and we're only, you know, not even halfway through 2021. Traffic-related deaths were 19 in 2020. They're now 24, and we're not even halfway through the year. I mean, this is ridiculous. It's like the police who take an oath to protect the public, who are doing their best to keep us safe. They now have bullseyes on them.
Well, and I'll tell you why I think that is. I think with these liberals in charge, and we saw it with, you know, what's been going on with Derek Chauvin and you know, some of these other cops, the absolute lowest form of life on earth that is hell-bent on death and destruction, okay, mm-hmm. The criminal element in this country, the hardcore violent criminal element, I don't think they feel they have anything to fear now. They don't fear or respect the police. They don't fear going to jail. They don't fear any of the consequences that used to come with this kind of thing. They figure it's open season on cops right now because that's what their element of society wants.
Yeah. And if you want to look at it in a numbers perspective, again, we're only halfway through, not even halfway through the year, and police officer deaths have gone up 28% from the entirety of last year. The police now are fair game. When a police officer in the line of duty kills a black man, a thug, a criminal, it's all over the news. It's big headlines for days and days and days. But when a black person, a thug, kills a white police officer, do we really hear about it? No.
No, you got to go looking for it, but it's out there. Yeah. You know, yeah. And let me just say this. It's not just white cops that are being targeted. It's all right. Cops.
It's all anyone who wears blue.
That's it. I mean, they're not targeting a skin color. They're targeting a uniform. Let me tell you, folks, what's happening in St. Louis right now. Right now. Okay? The St. Louis City Council approved a budget cut of $4 million in funding to the St. Louis Police Department and the elimination of 98 police jobs. Okay. Now, yeah. While that's going on, okay, because that's happening right now, St. Louis has its highest homicide rate in 50 years.
Yes.
Okay, that's half a century, folks. They're laying off cops. They're not rehiring cops. They're cutting the police budget by $4 million. And yet out in the street, thugs are killing thugs. Thugs are killing innocent people. They've got their highest homicide rate in the last 50 years. And right now, it's only May.
Yeah, and you have to also look at it this way. 20 major cities in the United States have cut their police budgets in some form. And you've got these crazy activists saying, we want more cuts. This is only a start. We don't want the police on the streets. Really? And then when your murder rates go up, you're crying for the police? You can't have it both ways.
This will come as no great surprise to anybody, but the mayor of St. Louis is a liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Her name is Tishara Jones. She is not. She is not Irish.
No.
Okay. Here's what she said. She is praising the budget cuts to the police department and saying that defunding the police in St. Louis will help tackle some of the root causes to crime.
Really?
It's all the police's fault. You see, when crime happens in a blue liberal city, it's the fault of the police. You get rid of the police, the crime will just go away.
Well, you know what's funny is a lot of the funding, the monies are being redistributed to housing, mental health programs, food access, and other assorted programs. How about public safety? What happened to public safety? Since when are the police supposed to be responsible for housing and mental health programs?
Well, I would hope
the police are there for public safety.
I would hope the people that are defunding the police are taking full advantage of enhanced mental health help because they need it. You know?
No, what they need, it's not mental health issues that they have. This is deliberate destruction of law and order in this country. This is the fundamental change that was part of Obama's vision for America.
It is.
Really, all these problems really go back to him.
You know, you can trace it right back. It's not that hard to trace it back. Now, last week, we talked about it here on the show. I put it out on my blog, a commentary called An Agenda of Injustice. And I actually talked about this topic in that article. And when you defund the police, what you're doing is you're actually laying the groundwork for anarchy. Because when the police are gone out of these violent neighborhoods in these blue cities, when there's no more police, then the only rule of law is the law of thugs, murderers, arsonists, rapists. It's going to be their city, not yours.
There is a solution. If they're not going to allow the police to do their jobs, which is to protect the public, there's an upcoming case in the next session of the Supreme Court dealing with carrying firearms. And maybe it's time, if this continuing cut of police funding and manpower continues, maybe it is really time for constitutional carry to become the law of the land.
Might give a few thugs pause.
Yeah, it should give a lot of people pause. You walk into something and you're going to do something that you shouldn't do, and all these people are around you, you're not going to know who's armed and who isn't.
You know, right now, the criminal element in this country, and I don't care where they are, they think, well, you know, the police are back on their heels because anything they do, they're going to be scrutinized for, and so they're not going to do anything, so they don't, you know, they don't cause any waves. So, you know, the streets are now starting to belong to us thugs, us miscreants, you know, and you're going to see violent crime go up. You're going to see property crimes go up.
Yes.
You know, all of this is going to go up because even the absolute best of the best police officers have got to be out there on patrol tonight thinking, what happens if I see a crime in progress? What do I do now?
Right. Police, to some degree, are worried about not only their lives, of course, but their jobs. What do I do? Am I supposed to do what the element wants me to do, or am I supposed to do the job I'm sworn to do? I'm going to be damned either way.
Right. The cop that made that kind of funny video poking fun mocking LeBron James, he's been suspended.
Yeah, but it's all right for LeBron James to say the things he said, but no one else, you know, can criticize him.
Right. I mean, this is how nuts it's getting.
Yes.
You know, I mean, good Lord, if a police officer gets a cat out of a tree, there's going to be trouble because maybe it was a white cat.
Yeah.
You know, and well, white cats have privilege. Black cats matter.
Oh, that's right.
You know, I mean, this is how nuts this is getting. You know, we rely on police officers in this country to serve and protect.
Yes.
Are there bad police officers? Of course. There's bad people in every profession. I don't care what it is.
I guarantee you it's a minority of police officers. Oh. The vast majority of police officers are dedicated to serving the public, and the oath that they took when they became police officers, it's a vocal minority. Just like within the black community, the majority yep. of black people are good, hardworking, decent people who want just what we white people want. But you got the small minority, like the BLM sorts, who are the vocal ones drowning out the voices of the majority.
We're going
to
see.
What the problem is, people need to stand up already and say, shut up. We've had enough.
We talked about it on Tuesday, the blue yes. flu. We're going to see more and more police officers walking off the job, just hanging it up, saying, you know what? I love what I do for a living. I love being out there. I love helping good people. I love putting bad people away. But you know what? It's not worth it. It's no longer worth my life. It's no longer worth my job. It's no longer worth my family getting targeted, my kids getting targeted. You know, and that's a damn shame. But we're going to see more and more and more police officers simply quit. And New York City is seeing it right now in spades.
And you know what? New York City deserves it because de Blasio absolutely had it out for the police from day one.
Boy, he did, didn't he?
Nasty SOB, and he deserves it. Do the people of New York deserve it?
No.
No. The general population, no. But then again, they voted for people like de Blasio. So, you know, you're in a catch-22 situation there. Well, and you have people hightailing it out of these states like New York, coming to states, especially like Florida and Texas, where, you know, our governors do the right thing. Now we tell them, in fact, there's sites on Facebook where we tell them, if you're coming to, let's say, Florida, because you have had enough of the Democrat nonsense, don't bring your Democrat nonsense here because we don't want you.
Exactly. Exactly. You can't blame states like that, you know?
No.
Florida's doing that. Texas is doing that. South Dakota's doing that. Nebraska, to some extent, my state, we've done that. You know, it's like leave your liberal nonsense behind. We don't want it here.
It's almost like, I'm sorry to say this, but it's almost like there's going to be two United States soon.
Yeah, the red and the blue.
The red and the blue. And I'm proud to be in a red state.
I am too, but I'll tell you this much. I will stand with the men and women who make up the thin blue line every single day.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we support our police as we support our military 100%.
I mean, it just makes me sick. Every day I look through my news feed and I see another cop got killed.
Right.
And it just makes me sick.
But you notice it's buried in your news feed. It's not the tough story.
Nope, it's not. You're right. It's not. Well, folks, I'll tell you what. I hope you got great plans for the weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. Get out there. Have some fun. Leave the mask at home. Don't socially distance. Engage in herd immunity.
Yes. Yes. And visit your local businesses. Support your local restaurants, your theaters, your shops. You know, let's get our country back to normal. We don't have to listen to Biden and crew. We have common sense. We know what's the right thing to do. So let's go and do it.
Get out there and have some fun. That's what it's all about.
Yes.
Live a little. Don't be afraid to live. Okay? Don't die being afraid to live.
Right. And that's what the Democrats want. They want you to be afraid to live. Well, you know what? It's over.
It really is. It really is. Well, Diane, I think that about wraps it up for us tonight. What do you think?
I think so, and hope everyone has a great weekend, a maskless weekend.
Say goodnight, Diane.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you Tuesday. Have a fun time this weekend.